You're listening to The Next 20 Years, a podcast made in collaboration with Danish design company Bolia about how the world as we know it is going to change in the next 20 years. For this podcast, we have asked some of the most inspiring people on the planet about what they believe will happen in the next 20 years. All of these experts are going to challenge your view on the world. For this episode, we have invited anthropologist Christian Gros. Christian is a gender studies researcher at the University of Roskilde and specializes in gender sexuality, sexual transactions, sexual capital, and female erotic power. For his presentation today, he will tell you about how our ways of relating to each other will be transformed in ways we cannot imagine. How in the realm of love, sex, gender, relationships, marriage, dating, and living together, we will enter another phase of connecting. And now I give to you Christian Gros.
In the next 20 years, our ways of relating to each other will be transformed in ways that we cannot imagine. In terms of love, sex, gender, marriage, and dating, we are going to enter a new phase of connecting to each other. In my lecture, I will present the following scenarios. First of all, what is going to happen for the next 20 years is that we will increasingly identify in new ways as multiple genders and in terms of sexuality, desire, and love. This comes along as we gradually recognize the complexity of desire and of all the selves that we can be. Secondly, women will become ever more open about their sexual limits as well as their desires. And men will adapt to this situation by generating new and diverse ways of being a man. Just as our working lives and private lives will turn more flexible, so will our ways of living, dating, and satisfying our needs. For example, polyamorous lives and rainbow families will go from being subculture to becoming more mainstream. With the flexible and everlasting burden of work, we will have a stronger need to check out and find places where we can isolate ourselves with our nearest and dearest for shorter periods of time. More collective forms of living will see the light, and we will search for the perfect balance between collective and sharing communities and individual peace and satisfaction. As new norms for acceptable codes of sexual conduct come about, we will develop two parallel worlds, which ensures that we can both respect each other's boundaries and also, at the same time, have arenas where these boundaries can be transgressed in a safe and consensual way. Our intimate lives will become deeply intertwined with the new sharing economy, and our love and sexual lives will be defined according to principles of sharing. Also, over time, new technologies for prevention will be invented, and men will be able to take more responsibility during sex by using birth control pills for men. New laws of consent when it comes to rape and sexual conduct will have the effect that more men become aware of paying attention to women's needs, wishes, and desires. So now let me go through these scenarios. As we continue to debate and share our experiences of being persons with a variety of desires and senses of self, we will, as a culture, become open to more ways of identifying sexually in terms of gender and in our dating lives. The LGBTQ movement will continue to expand, and we will see movements between identities from straight to gay, bisexual to pansexual, and multiple sexual subcultures will rise to the surface, and there will be a vivid expression of this diversity in public space. In this way, ideas of what gender is and how we see ourselves as men, women, transgender, multigender, non-binary, or something else will become ever more present also in public space. Gender stereotypes, as we know them, will collapse in certain areas of life, from kindergartens to workplaces to ordinary homes. At first, we are going to see this happen in cities, and later on in towns and in the countryside. Boys and girls will be allowed to find their own way gender-wise and play in ways that don't fit our common ideas of which colors, activities, and roles, for example, are seen as male or female. At first, men will be praised as the new caretakers and cleaners at home, but gradually this will become a norm and be seen as natural as anything. New generations of young people will make it much more acceptable to show affection in public, whether you're gay, straight, bisexual, queer, or transgender. We will also see more mixed couples of different cultural and racial backgrounds walk hand in hand, just as we see today in major cities like New York, San Francisco, or Sao Paulo. Women will become ever more open about their sexual limits as well as their desires. This is part of a general trend that has begun many years ago, but which will go in a direction where women will assert their right to decide and will take the power when it comes to the intimate sphere, in particular when it comes to dating, flirtation, and sex. With this follows a growing sense of power to confront injustice and male oppression, and a desire to become sexually independent. The Me Too movement will stand as a permanent reference in history, both the movement in 2017 and 18, and the second wave in 2020, where women from a lot of different branches went forward to talk about their experiences of sexual transgressions. There'll be several waves of Me Too in the future, each moving one step further towards a sense of equality. Some men will become nervous about losing the privilege of their gender, but many others will realize the benefits of a more equal power balance and new norms which make women less anxious around men at the working place and in nightlife. A number of new codes of conduct will develop. They will not become visible, or they will not be in written form, but they will be a common reference point for how to behave and not to behave, sexually and in intimate lives. For example, men who in 2020 would allow themselves to touch a woman intimately without first making sure about her interest, they will, 20 years later, pay much more attention to the woman's intentions and her signals. The man will either wait for the woman to take the first step, or he will make a first move by gently touching her hand or ask her if she finds him attractive. If she reacts positively, the man will slowly move on to become more intimate. To some people, this scenario may seem boring, and some people may complain that there's a lack of a power play in this situation. But at some point, men and women will realize that there has to be a development of new codes of conduct, of new ways of understanding each other as women and men, and the signals that we give each other when it comes to interest or non-interest in each other. Being more explicit and asking a woman about her desires and interests will no longer be seen as inappropriate from men. it would no longer be seen as unmanly or strange. It will be appreciated by women as expressions of respect and masculinity. And women will, as a consequence of this, become less inhibited when it comes to taking the first step, when it comes to flirting with men, when it comes to being open about their sexual wishes and desires, also in the public space. Women will no longer accept being called a whore by men for having many partners or for dressing in certain erotic ways, and it would no longer be accepted among men to call women names or to be degrading towards women in language. Female solidarity will increase, and so will collective female action. Women will become the prime movers in the choice of partners and in dating life. Acts of transgressing each other's boundaries, not the least towards women, will be called out, and men will increasingly speak out when they see other men behaving violently or disrespectful. In the same vein, relationships between women will become mainstream, whether as a sexual activity, love affairs, or in pornography. Dating will, of course, mean something else as time goes by. The specialization of our desires and search for love and sex will enter a more extreme phase, where hundreds of new specific dating sites, apps, and technologies will come to the surface. It will still be based on a high degree of anonymity, especially because we need to hide our inner preferences and fantasies. These more secret preferences, however, can be shared with a number of like-minded people. Just like there are dating apps today for people of certain strands of life, such as elite daters or sugar daters, there will be dating apps only for older people, only for transgender groups or fetish groups. There will always be a need for authenticity, security, trust, and deep connections, even if our sexual lives becomes more flexible. But as our working lives and private lives become ever more flexible, so our intimate lives have to follow through with in a way of satisfying our needs and desires. The possibilities of having social bonds are ever expanding. With the social media as an epicenter of friendships, lovers, partners, and family. So in a phase where polyamorous relationships will become more common, new cultures and norms will develop and challenge classic ideas of family, sexuality, and love. Somehow, deeper friendships and family bonds across generations will replace the deeper love relations between couples. It doesn't mean that ordinary romantic relationships will disappear. It does mean, however, that the content and the way of thinking about love and intimacy in relationships will change. Polyamorous forms of romance and family making moves from being subculture to becoming mainstream. This will also occur in order to accommodate to satisfying our multiple needs for love, sex, and companionship. At the same time, more collective forms of living will see the light in the search for a lost sense of community and authenticity. Also, we will seek more space for ourselves and our loved ones. Couples and families will strive towards having more than one home. Some will live together apart, sharing an apartment in the city, but also having a small house in the countryside or in another country with different cultural inputs. When conflicts arise, or we need time to ourselves, we, our kids, or our partners will seek refuge in the second home. This comes at a cost, of course, But it will become a priority to many as a way of checking out of a flexible and stressful working and family life. As ever more people work from home, the home will become an office, and a new home or space is needed, which is completely free from burdens of work and stressful thoughts. In this situation, and with the flexible family life, we will no longer spend time with a fixed set of family members, friends, or partners. Instead, we need to be surrounded by a diversity of intimates who can cater to the different needs of a life in flux. But we will need a few steady relations around us that we can connect with for life. Let's call them life partners or life witnesses. These life partners will be our steady anchors that we resort to in times of crisis and necessity. There will be a realization that intimacy may not last forever, but that friendships, love, and relationships can be flexible without losing a sense of strong emotional connections. The everlasting tie of love will remain with our life partners. These life partners could be our children, our parents, grandparents, or strong friendships. Even if we live far away from each other at times, our sexual and romantic partners, however, may be substituted by others throughout our lifetime, and there may be several partners at the same time, without losing, however, the ability to love and to sacrifice. As our work and leisure lives enable us and inspire us to meet and share moments with ever more people, the possibility to become fascinated by others will undoubtedly increase. And since we're humans, we will realize that parts of us and parts of who we are is sharing our intimacy, both emotionally, sexually, and socially. Some may see this as a frightening scenario, but many will gradually understand the benefits of this development and give it a try. In that sense, a certain sharing culture of intimacy will prevail. This way of living will become deeply intertwined with a new sharing economy, in which material possessions such as cars, homes, clothes, etc., is not just ours, but shared objects for rent and for sharing in a common search for a more sustainable lifestyle. In a sense, our bodies and minds will both become part of the sharing economy. Not because we are forced to give up our individual freedoms and properties, but because we grasp the necessity and joy of exchange with an indefinite group of other humans. Therefore, we might even talk about a new era of universal giving to and sharing with others in the world. In order to fulfill our individual needs and in pursuit of individual freedom, we will paradoxically become less isolated and less socially autonomous. In short, we will become what we may call individuals or dividables rather than individuals. We will be sharing parts of who we are with others. Recognition of togetherness and how everybody is connected to everybody will lead to a pursuit of the common ties between us. More collective forms of living will see the light in the search for a lost sense of community and authenticity. Also, we will seek more physical spaces for ourselves and our loved ones, and seek a more balanced and widened shift between living in nature and living in cities. In the sexual domain, there will be a realization that transgressive behavior and transgressing each other's boundaries is unacceptable, and that consent is paramount to whichever relationships we want to build. At the same time, humans will always have desires and peculiar fantasies. They will need to find a way to be expressed and lived out in a consensual way. So whether people are into S&M, dominance, fetish parties, swinger clubs, or role play, these sexual cultures will flourish and be celebrated in a number of subcultures. There will be a realization that we can exist in parallel worlds. There will be one world of gender equality, of respect for diversity, and respect for each other's bodies and boundaries. And then there will be another parallel world of playfulness, experiments, and expressions of sexuality. A world where sexuality has other and more wider limits, as long as everything is based on consent. In the parallel world of playfulness, people will live out desires that may be unacceptable in everyday life, or which contradict or turn on its head the roles and hierarchies of everyday life. Thus, the CEO will play the maiden, the waitress will play the boss, the straight guy will seek out his homosexual desires and his transgender roles. Swingers will not only live out fantasies in clubs, but also bring these home, having private parties with playful others. Finally, a number of changes are going to happen in the bedroom. For example, a new birth control pill for men will be invented. In 20 years, this will radically change the responsibility in the bedroom so that both women and men can help prevent pregnancies, and so that each person can make sure a pregnancy occurs with mutual consent. It will no longer be up to the woman to think about the possible consequences of sex, and women can rightfully demand that men take over this responsibility. Also, a new law of consent is implemented when it comes to questions of rape and of sexual conduct. This will create a huge change in the way men and women think about flirtations and sexual limits and sexual desires. Because of this, more men will become aware of paying attention to women's needs, wishes, and desires, and more women will dare to report their experiences of sex without consent. In this way, a new sexual culture can develop, in which respect for and attention to the other is of paramount importance. Summarizing this short lecture, we will over the next 20 years experience a changed culture of intimacy, where attention to personal diversity, desires, and limits becomes front and center of our lives. This will be a situation where women experience an improved status as women, sexually and emotionally, and men will be able to take more responsibility when it comes to sex and intimacy. In a way, we can say that women will become more powerful in the domain of sex, while men will become more responsible. This will be a situation where men are allowed to express masculinity in a variety of ways. The old ways of being a dominant man who is either powerful in the domain of economy, politics, or knowledge. This man will be substituted by a number of new forms of men and masculinities that adapt to the new situation of gender equality, respect, and diversity, and where the sharing of love and intimacy will substitute the old family structures and our old ways of thinking about dating and love.
You have been listening to The Next 20 Years, a podcast about the future. If these topics interest you, I urge you to press the subscribe button in your preferred podcatcher, and you'll get a message when we release the next episode.